Let's hear God's word to us this evening. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. After being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And we're skipping the flight of Jesus and Joseph and Mary to Egypt and dropping down to verse 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. So far, God's word. Let's bring this word before him and ask him to bless it to our hearts this evening. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you thankful for your word. Thankful for your son who we're going to be hearing about again this evening. Lord, we pray that you'd bless your word now to our hearts. Open our hearts. Challenge us. Encourage us. Feed us. Nourish us with your word this evening, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name and all God's people said, Amen. Well, one of the shows that I enjoy on TV is Mythbusters. Who's seen Mythbusters? Who knows what I'm talking about? A few people. Well, in Mythbusters, what they do is they put forward a myth, an idea, and they say, well, is it true? Or is it simply a myth? So we're going to do a little bit of that this evening as we start looking at a few myths. The first myth is this. To escape its predators, an ostrich hides its head in the sand. Who thinks that's true? A few people, and they think it's true because I said that last night. That's the other night, on Sunday night. It's actually a myth. Now, there's a saying that we bury our head in the sand, and that's listed attached to the ostrich, but it's actually a myth. So, a correction from your pastor this evening, I got it wrong. Another myth. There were three wise men. Who thinks that there were three wise men? Couple of hands at the back. Who thinks that there weren't three wise men? Who didn't put their hand up? Yeah, sitting on the fence. We don't know how many wise men there were. Now, the reason that we think that came down to wise men and we know the Christmas carols is because there were three gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But that doesn't necessarily mean that each person only gave one gift. For a number of years, for our girls, one of their grandmas gave them a gift for every single year, for the year of their birthday. So if they were 3 years old, they got three gifts. If they were 5 years old, they got five gifts. I turned over 40 just the other week. Did I get over 40 gifts? No. And in fact, that stopped after a few years, as you can well imagine. We don't know how many wise men there were. Another myth. The wise men followed the shepherds. They saw Jesus the night he was born. Put your hand up if you think that's true. One at the back. Not many takers. Oops, a couple. Three. That's also a myth. The wise men didn't see Jesus the night he was born. How do I know that? Well, a couple of things. In chapter 2, verse 11, we read that the wise men came to visit Jesus at the house where they were staying. We also see that Herod killed all the baby boys 2 years and under. And we're going to hear about Herod in a second. But why would Herod kill boys up to 2 years if Jesus had just been born? We also have the distance that the wise men had to travel. We think that they came from Babylon. They couldn't get there with a flight in one night. Another myth. Jesus came to save people from their sins. Put up your hands if you think that is actually true. You're right. That is true. That's not a myth. That's what Joseph said, what the angel said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's a major theme of the Bible. That's why Jesus came. We heard, Peter read from us in the beginning, from Genesis chapter 3, way back at the beginning of the Bible. We read there that Adam and Eve sinned, they rejected God. And ever since that time, the world we live in has been broken. We're affected by sin. And because of that fateful decision that Adam and Eve made on that day, the entire human race was doomed to death, to eternal life, eternal death, to eternal punishment. And the Bible teaches us that we can't fix that on our own. Only God can. And in Jesus, he does that. In Jesus born, he does that. That's how God makes it right. And this evening, as we look at the visit of the wise men, we're going to consider how we respond to that Jesus. How do we respond to that Jesus who was born? And this evening, we're going to see three responses. The first response is apathy. Apathy. What does apathy mean? Well, as one person put it, I don't know, I don't care. But that's actually what apathy means. I don't know, I don't care. Why did the wise men come to Jerusalem, first of all? Why didn't they go straight to Bethlehem? Well, boys and girls, can you tell me, where does a king live? Where does a king live? Can someone tell me? Lucy. He lives in a castle, yes, and inside that castle, I figured that was going to come, inside a castle is what? Where does the queen live? Right at the back there, I can see her hand, right at the back. The queen lives in a palace, that's right, the queen lives in a palace. And where did the king of Jerusalem live? He lived in a palace. And that palace was in Jerusalem, and so that's why they came there. To the capital city of the nation of Israel. And here you have these wise men, we don't know how many, with their entourage, walking around Jerusalem and saying, have you seen the new king? We're trying to find the new king. Now, Jerusalem in those days wasn't Christchurch. So a group of foreigners coming into the middle of the city of Jerusalem would have been noticed pretty quickly. And Herod notices them. It doesn't take long for Herod to pick up what is going on. And then he starts getting worried, our passage says. When Herod, verse 3, the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now Herod was like Mama Bear without her cubs. Mama Bear, if Mama Bear's angry, We stay out of our way, don't we, boys and girls? And that was the case with Herod. The people in Jerusalem were worried because when Herod was worried, there was trouble coming. And Herod was not a nice man. Herod wasn't actually Jewish. He was a ruler that was put there by the Romans. And he didn't enjoy the love that most New Zealanders give towards our Prime Minister. And in fact, the story is told about Herod, this is how bad he was. When Herod came very close to his death, he became sick after a number of years, he became sick and he was about to die. And he knew that the people didn't love him. So what he arranged for is on the day he died, that his soldiers were going to go and kill a large number of the Jewish leaders. So that no one would be able to rejoice and say, yes, Herod is dead, because everyone would be grieving and weeping. That's how horrible Herod was. The king gets his wise men in Jerusalem together, the chief priests and the scribes of the people. He asks them, where is the king going to be born? And the answer is, boys and girls, where is the king going to be born? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. But what did Jerusalem do with this news? What did the religious leaders do with this news as these wise men came and said, we've come to worship the king? Well, tonight what I've done is under five seats where you're sitting, I've placed $10. Yeah, my wife knows. She's shaking her head. No, you haven't done that. If I had done that and you could believe me that I'd done that, what would you do? You'd be looking under your chair, wouldn't you? Well, how about if the announcement had come that the promised Messiah, the king that the people of Israel had been waiting for hundreds of years, had finally arrived? Don't you think that the leaders would be rushing to Bethlehem to find out, to go and see this king? But they don't. They were too busy going on with their own lives, worried about themselves. And it's the same today as people hear about Jesus Christ. As they're told that Jesus comes to make people right with God. What do people do? Nothing. Maybe that's you tonight. You've already heard that Jesus Christ has come to save you from your sins if you will believe in him. What does that mean to you? That's fine for you. Whatever. That's one response to the birth of Jesus Christ. But there's another response, and that is the response of Herod. That response is hostility. Herod calls the wise men together. He asks them what time the star appeared, because he's wanting to establish a time frame. Now he tells the wise men that he wants to go and worship this king. But we read in verses 16 and following that what he really wants to do is make sure that Jesus is dead. That's why he wants the time frame. That's why he kills those boys under two. Why? Because Herod wanted to be king. He wouldn't let anything stand in his way. Herod even killed some of the members of his family because he was worried that they were going to be king or queen instead. We see that sort of opposition, that persecution today in the world as Christians are persecuted. Now, we're not persecuted here in New Zealand, and we can give thanks to God for that. But the reality of the world that we live in is that the number of Christians who are persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ is more than those who are not. That's the reality of Christianity throughout the world. There's hostility. There's persecution of Christianity. But the hostility can spread even further than that. That hostility can maybe live in our own lives and hearts. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'm one of those people, and I'm sure there are one or two here, that don't like being given directions. They don't like following instructions. We like to be our own boss, don't we? We like to be in control of our own life, our own destiny, our own future. We want to be king. Our story here this evening isn't a story about three kings, as the Christmas carol goes, but it is a story about two kings. King Herod, or King Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this evening, who is king of your life? Is Jesus your king? Or are you your own king? Now you may say, I'm entitled to be my own king. I'm the captain of my own ship. But the Bible also says that one day you will face this king. And this king will ask you, how are you right with God? And the answer that most people will give is, well, I'm not a bad person, and if I weigh up my good deeds with my bad deeds, there's no way that God can refuse me to come into heaven. I'm a good person. But that's not the way it works. The Bible teaches us that you can't earn your way into heaven. There's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God unless you turn to Jesus Christ. Because it's only through the free gift of Jesus Christ that you can be right with God. It's only as you make him your king and you can look forward to the joy of heaven. Apathy. Don't care. Not for me. Hostility. I'll be my own boss, thank you. But there's also a third and final response this evening, and that response is worship. The wise men made their way to Bethlehem, and in some supernatural way, we don't quite know and understand, the star showed them where to go. It stopped above the house. We don't actually know what the star was. I read it the other day, and I found that quite interesting. That has anyone been reading and following about how Jupiter and Saturn have come close to each other, and they look like just about one star? A few people? Good, okay. Is anyone still listening? Good, just checking. And no, that's fine. Keep listening. That was actually also happened very close to the time when Jesus was born. So it's quite possible that that's what they saw. We don't know. But something supernatural happened. And the wise men, we read there, in verse 10, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They rejoiced exceedingly, great joy. If we wanted to put that in the Kiwi English version, we'd say the wise men were stoked. They came and they bowed down and worshipped before their Saviour, before their King. But these wise men probably didn't actually understand who it was they were worshipping. The rest of the New Testament explains who this Jesus was. But these wise men came simply to worship a king. But in doing so, they showed Matthew's readers, those who read this story first of all, and they showed us the right way to respond to Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't fool you with the $10 under five seats. And I'm not going to fool you with this one either. But say, instead of $10 under five seats, I give every single person here $10,000. Now, that's not going to happen either. But if I did that, if I was Oprah, and I gave everyone money for everyone, you'd be pretty grateful, wouldn't you? The warehouse isn't quite closed yet. It closes what time, Grace? 9 o'clock tonight, so by the time we're finished here, you could rush out and you could spend thousands of dollars extra on Christmas presents. You'd be pretty grateful, wouldn't you? But how grateful do you think we could be? How grateful do you think we should be when we think about Jesus Christ and how this little baby came to save us? To save us from our sins. To make us right with God. To give us a secure eternal future. Because that is the most important thing in this world, bar none, to be right with God. Boys and girls, it's more important than Christmas presents. It's more important than fixing COVID. It's more important than climate change. It's more important than anything. And if you do come to Him, then join this evening with those of us who do believe, who respond as we think about, as we see again, as we're reminded again of this baby that came for us. And the only response that we can have is to be grateful, to give thanks, to bow down before Him and worship. So where are you today, this evening? What do you think about the story of Jesus Christ? What do you think about Christmas? Is it simply a myth? Simply a story? Well, as I said earlier, you are entitled this evening to your opinion. But what if you're wrong? What if it is the truth? What if it's not a myth? Isn't it then at least a look, or at least another look? Don't ignore Jesus Christ. Don't reject Jesus Christ, but hear His invitation to you. Come to Me. Come and bow before Him. Come and serve Him. Come and worship Him. And if you do believe this evening, come and worship. Come and worship the newborn King. Christ came to die for you. He paid the price. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven and He's coming again to take us home. To our eternal home, our final home. Is that good news? Is that good news? It is good news, isn't it? Come and worship Christ this evening. Come and worship the newborn King. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ, come down as a baby, living on this earth for us. We thank You also that Your Son came to die for us. That He did die for us, that He was raised from the grave, that He has ascended into heaven, that He is coming again to take us home. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would work in our hearts. Heavenly Father, I pray here this evening that for anyone here who does not yet know Jesus Christ, that they would consider these words this evening. That You would work in their hearts. That they wouldn't reject Your Son. That they wouldn't ignore Your Son, but instead would come to know the joy of having Your Son as their Savior. Work in their hearts, we pray. Work in the hearts of our friends and family who don't know Jesus Christ or have turned away from Jesus Christ. Change their hearts, we pray. And Heavenly Father, as we come before You this evening as Your people, we rejoice in You. We praise You. We give thanks for Your Son who died for us. We praise You and thank You for Jesus Christ, in whose name, the only name that can save us, in whose name now we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand and sing now the words of number 252, O Little Town of Bethlehem. 252. And there we sing in the last verse, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Let's stand and sing.